Erinyes, Gigantes, and Meliae. Creation at this time, peopled as it was by primal deities whose whole energy and purpose seems to have been directed towards reproduction, was endowed with an astonishing fertility. The soil was blessed with such a fecund richness that one could almost believe that if you planted a pencil it would burst into flower. Where divine blood fell, life could not help but spring from the earth. So no matter how murderous, cruel, rapacious, and destructive the character of Uranos, he had been, after all, the ruler of earth and sky. For his son to have mutilated and emasculated him constituted a most terrible crime against cosmos. Perhaps what happened next is not so surprising. Great pools of blood formed around the scene of Uranos's castration. From that blood, the blood which fell from the ruined groin of Uranos, living beings emerged. The first to push themselves out of the sodden ground were the Erinyes, whom we call the Furies, Alecto, Remorseless, Megara, Jealous Rage, and Tisiphone, Vengeance. Perhaps it was an unconscious instinct of Uranos that caused such vengeful beings to rise up. Their eternal duty, from the moment of their chthonic or out-of-the-ground birth, would be to punish crime, relentlessly to chase the perpetrators, and to rest only when the guilty had paid the full and dreadful price. Armed with cruel metallic scourges, the Furies flayed the very flesh from the bones of the guilty. The Greeks, with characteristic irony, nicknamed these female avengers the Eumenides, or Kindly Ones. Next to rise from the soil were the Gigantes. We have inherited the words giant, giga, and gigantic from them. But while they were certainly possessed of prodigious strength, they were no greater in stature than their half-brothers and sisters. Their names signify not their size, but their chthonic origins, generated from the earth, Gaia-gen, if you will. Gaia's name, incidentally, became worn down to GE in later Greek. She is still there in earth sciences like geology and geography, not to mention the later environmental studies that have restored her full name, James Lovelock and his popular Gaia hypothesis being a prime example. Finally, in that instant of pain and destruction were created also the Meliae, graceful nymphs who were to become guardians of an ash tree whose bark exuded a sweet and healthful manner. As all these unexpected new beings emerged alive from the blood-soaked ground, Cronos stared at them in disgust and scattered them with a sweep of his scythe. Next he turned to Gaia. "I promised you, Earth Mother," he said, "that I would release you from your gnawing agony. Hold still." With another sweep of the scythe, he sliced open Gaia's side. Out tumbled the Cyclopes and Hecatonchires. Cronos looked down at his parents, both of them now bloody, panting and snarling like angry, wounded animals. "No more shall you cover Gaia," he said to his father. "I banish you to live out eternity beneath the ground, gelded and powerless. May you sulk there in your fury, buried deeper even than Tartarus." "You have overreached yourself," hissed Uranos. "There will be revenge. I curse your life, that it be ground out in slow, remorseless perpetuity, its immortal eternity, an insufferable burden without end. Your own children will destroy you as I destroyed you." "Yes, I know," you said. We'll see about that. You and your brothers and sisters, I curse you all. Your straining ambition will destroy you. Straining One, or Titan, is the title we reserve for Kronos, his 11 siblings, and much of their progeny. Uranos meant it as an insult, but somehow the name has resounded through the ages with a ring of grandeur. No one, to this very day, would be insulted to be called a Titan. Kronos met these curses with a sneer, and corralling his mutilated father and newly freed mutant brothers at the point of his sickle, he led them down to Tartarus. The Hecatoncheires and Cyclopes he imprisoned in the caves, but his father he buried even deeper, as far from his natural domain of the heavens as he could contrive. At least the deposed Skyfather has the consolation of the planet Uranus named in his honour, it being the convention that the planets take the Roman names of the gods they represent. Brooding, simmering, and raging in the ground, deep beneath the earth that once loved him, Uranus compressed all his fury and divine energy into the very rock itself, hoping that one day some excavating creature somewhere would mine it and try to harness the immortal power that radiated from within. That could never happen, of course. It would be too dangerous. Surely the race has yet to be born that could be so foolish as to attempt to unleash the power of uranium.